One of the best gifts we have going for us from God is a conversation with Him or an opportunity to pray. And if you could think of praying as relationship, I think that'll help us learn how to pray. As the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. All of us are still learning how to have God as our Savior and friend. He is that way. We want to get to know Him better. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And in the Hebrew culture, where Jesus was teaching and living, someone's name really represented their character, their dignity, and almost everything about them. And for example, in one of his disciples, Christ's relationship with his disciples, he went to Simon and said, you're Simon, but I will call you Peter, which means rock. The Lord changed his name because Peter would really represent faith in Christ and all who would follow after the Lord having faith in him. When my wife Regina and I had our sons, we wanted to pick out some names for them that meant something to us and hopefully would mean something to them eventually. I wanted one of my sons to be named Mac because I wanted him to be strong like a Mack truck. And my wife had more sense, and she said, why don't you pick something from the Bible there, Pastor Bob? And we prayed and looked, and we knew some people with these names who we admired, and we have middle names after family members and such. But David, which means loved by God, or beloved, and Sean, which means gift of God. And when you think about a name, how important it is, I'm called a lot of different names. My mom and dad still call me Bobby, probably something that none of you have called me. Sometimes called Bob or Pastor Bob in church settings. Those who don't know me very well call me Reverend Daniels. If somebody calls me that, I know they don't know me very well. But only a few call me Dad. And when I hear Dad, I know, well, oh, there's a connection. There's a relationship I must pay attention to there. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Some things that we learn when we pray to God and say, Our Father. First of all, that's a praise to God to call him that in that manner. Our Father, may your name be held in honor. That's what we're praying. Lord, we want you to be the best all the time and treated like the best and treated as number one. Psalm 96 talks about honoring God and honoring his name. It says, give to the Lord glory due his name. That's something we want to do with our lives. Boy, at the end of life, what do you want to do? You want to say, well, I wanted to honor God throughout my life because of all he is and all he did for me. Psalm 113 is a great praise to the name of God. It says, from the rising of the sun, just happened a little while ago, to the place where it sets, may the name of the Lord be praised. So the desire that we have in our hearts to say, Lord, all day long, from beginning to end, might your name be honored, might you be honored. And that applies to the whole world, of course, the sun rising and setting all over the place. So when we pray, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, we want God to be number one in our hearts and known that way in the world. Unfortunately, God's name is not honored a whole lot around us many times. When people get angry in public or something bad happens, they'll use God's name, and maybe sometimes you've done this as a word of anger. And they'll say the name of Jesus Christ in a manner that's full of anger and really doesn't honor God in that manner. My son went to his first meeting with his football team this week. And the coach, first year coach, he said, okay, we have some rules. You do this, this, and that. And he said, and none of us on the team, we don't cuss. And he said, and we don't use the Lord's name in vain. I don't know what else the coach is going to teach him in the rest of the year, how to block, tackle, make a touchdown, whatever. But he's taught him very important thing already. That it'd probably be more important than scoring the touchdown. God's name is to be held in honor in that way. And sometimes God's name is used in terms of a surprise. If you're surprised, you know, someone says, "Oh, my Buddha." No, they don't say that. They say, "Oh, my." And sometimes you watch a TV show and every time someone's surprised, God's name is used in a flippant manner. And, you know, that it's not honoring to him. It's to it represents who he is. He's the Lord. And I often thought, boy, I know my parents, they had to wash my mouth out with soap many a time. And there wasn't enough soap in the house to clean up some of the things that came out of my mouth. But it would have to be God coming to change my heart so that I would treat his name with honor. Holy is the name of God. Sometimes, too, as believers, it's not just saying his name in a flippant manner, but if you and I say, well, I'm a Christian, I believe in Christ, and my life isn't changed at all by God, and somebody says, well, maybe Jesus' name is in vain. Maybe it really doesn't mean anything, you know. So to ask God, Lord, change our lives, change our hearts, so that when we do follow you, it gives honor to your name. That's what God desires. Jesus said, pray for God's name to be held in honor. And the second experience I think we could learn from Christ in that pattern prayer or that prayer we pray, we could pray it 10,000 times to God that way, but we want to pray from the heart, is that when we address God as our Father, it shows that he has authority over our lives. How many like a lot of authority over your lives? Most of us, well, we have a hard time, don't we, with authority. And God is saying, hey, I am the final word in your life. I'm your Father in heaven. My name's to be held in honor. In the Hebrew culture, again, it was the guy in the house, the man, the father, who set things straight and set things aright. And mom was the key. And dad seemed to have he got the deep voice, you know, and so what he says goes. Sometimes in family life, we as children growing up, we want to be in authority over our parents. I remember I tried that many a time. Parents say, you go to bed at 9:30. Oh, and my favorite show is on. It doesn't end till 11, so come on, listen to me. Most of the time it didn't work. See, children are not to be head of the home. They want to be. I want it to be. It's not healthy. You know, to hold in honor. It's not by accident that Jesus said, pray, Father, holy is your name. And when God said in households, honor parents, honor those above you, honor father and mother. Church life, too. We get together as Christians, and churches all struggle with authority or which one's in charge of what, you know. And sometimes nobody's in charge of anything, and then it's a big mess. But the pastor, he has authority in this area, and then there's boards for this, and then there's districts for that, you know, and there's national office for that. And all those authorities are important, but above them all, when somebody says, who's the authority in the local church? Hopefully, first thing you say is, our Father in heaven, Christ. Because all the people who serve, if we're not under him, there's no sense. We don't have any authority on our own, that's for sure. It better be a derived responsibility from the Father in heaven. I haven't shed my blood for any Christians. If I did, it wouldn't save one soul. Christ has given his life to be authority over us. We say, our Father, we're saying, we know, Lord, you're number one. You're in charge. God asked a question in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. He says, a son honors his father and a servant honors his master. He says, if I'm a father, where is the honor due me? And just a refocusing of us. For us, that we honor God. That's why we gather, worship him, and honor him with our lives throughout the week. I think that's one of the major reasons for a lack of respect for authority in our world. Parents complain, children don't want to listen to me, and teachers and such, and government officials are not honored as those in authority. But one of the main reasons, I think, is we forgot to honor God as the number one authority. And if we don't do that, you can bet we're going to have a whole bunch of authority problems with other people. The Lord being also taken the task of our Father shows that He will want to discipline us. How many love the word discipline? It's to be a blessing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, the Lord disciplines those He loves. He says, do these things and don't neglect them, and that'll be a good experience for you. And He also corrects everyone who accepts as a son. God is treating you as a son. What son is not disciplined by their father? Human fathers disciplined us. We respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? In my home, again, my mom and dad, they were big on discipline. Frightening to think what I would be like without that. It was painful, but it did teach me some things that helped me later on in life. Mom would discipline a lot. She probably did it more often. But we knew this. If Dad ever moved into a situation of discipline, everybody, all three boys, we were at attention. Something was really important because he was involved. And so our Lord does that for us. When we experience pain in our souls, more than physical pain, more than difficulties around us, but when we experience a pain in our soul, something's not right. I feel like there's unrest. There's lack of peace. God is moving us to a situation where we're saying, okay, He's trying to get my attention. I'm experiencing discipline from God to get re-related to Him, to follow Him again. And for me, it happens pretty much every week, if not every day. God says in some manner to me, no, this is the right way to do things from your heart. Not what you want. It's a discipline. And so we should be thankful for that. It comes because He loves us, because He's our Father in heaven. And then the third experience by praying in this manner, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. It speaks of God's closeness to us, which we are very, very thankful for a God who loves us all the time, no matter what. Jesus is letting us know through that phrase, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. In the Old Testament, God was not known as a father very much. I think about seven times or so, God was referred to as Father by name or by comparison. Not a real lot in 4,000 years worth of walking with the Lord. When Christ came, all of a sudden, Jesus said, you want to know God? He's close. I want you to refer to Him like a loved one who is over you, our Father in heaven. A great picture of this is in Romans chapter 8, where Paul said, when someone receives Christ, Christ's Spirit comes into them. It is not a spirit of slavery to fall again into fear. Did you ever fear authorities in your life, and that was the only thing you had going for them? Principals and policemen, you know, I'm not close to the policeman, but when I look in the rearview mirror and the light is going, the butterflies do come, and I fear what's going to happen. But when we only fear God and only fear Him and not feel close to Him or love Him, you know what we do? We avoid Him, or we try to do things and say, Lord, are you happy with us now? Have we done enough? Officer, if I make if I give a gift to the police fund, will you forget about this ticket? God doesn't want that kind of relationship. He shares His life with us. He wants us to share our life back with Him as a fair exchange. And God's Word says, you haven't received a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sonship, by which we cry out to God, even in a close moment. The Bible uses the word Abba, Father, or word there means almost like saying daddy. Or the close loved one in your household. If a man who loves you is not there. Daddy. And Jesus is the only one that lets us call God Father. You know, in the Muslim world, which has many, many problems, to this day, people who are Muslims are forbidden by Islam to call God Father. Jesus came and said, God deserves to be held in honor, and you can call Him our Father because through Christ, He becomes our Father that we're looking for. And there's a lot of anger and a lot of violence in the Islamic world, which we know about and we see on TV. But you know what that is? That's only the anger and violence of a human heart that is away from God. And if we don't know God in a close manner, then our hearts also and our actions will be full of just anger and just violence. God comes to be close through Christ. Beautiful picture of God's closeness is in Isaiah chapter 49. God asked the question, can a parent forget their child? You would like to think that wouldn't happen. Sometimes it does. And God says, though they may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. Apparently back then when a Hebrew child would leave the home and be away for a little bit, the parent would do something on their hand so that when they looked at the hand, they said, yeah. Can't wait to see Johnny again or Sally or whoever. And this week, as we go throughout the day thinking, you know, the boss forgot about me. You know, the preacher forgot about me. My family forgot about me. God says, I will not forget you. I will be there for you. Psalm 27. Even if mom and dad forget, God will take me up. He wants to be our Father. There's a testimony of a fellow named John Guest. He's on the radio at 10:30, I believe, on WORD. He said in his own life, there wasn't a man in the house most of the time. He just missed that. And so he said when he received Christ, put his trust in Christ, almost instinctively, he began to talk to God as if God were his loving Father in heaven. God became the father that he didn't have, was not around. And he said, what a blessing to know God in that close manner. And that's what Christ wants for us, to know that He's close, not far away. He offers us that Father relationship through faith in Him. And again, you might be here this morning and say, God certainly doesn't seem very close to me. You know, Christ came into the world to take your hand, as strong as you think it is by itself, or perhaps soiled with all kind of problems, put it in the hand of God Himself. God becomes the one who loves you through Christ. And so when we pray and when we live, could you ask God continuously, Lord, show me how close you are. Show me that you are our Father in heaven. I want to honor your name. And He'll teach us about Himself as we do that. Could you pray with me together and think about God's name and His love and closeness to you? Let's pray. Lord, we know your word says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So sincerely from our heart, Father, if there's anybody here who doesn't feel at peace with God or maybe doesn't know whether they can go to heaven or not, God would say, I will take you to heaven. I will be your Savior. May they call on your name. And even, Father, the Lord's Prayer be a salvation prayer. If they say, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. We put our trust in you today. Well, I pray, Father, we'd be able to give our burdens to you as we would a good parent. And just hold us close to yourself. Help us know everything will be okay because you're with us. And then, Lord, to give you the respect that is due to you. And above all, Lord, to know that in our hearts we want you to be number one. And, Lord, it's a frightening and sad thought that we put many other things as number one in our hearts. And they all deeply disappoint us. But you have not disappointed us. We put our trust in you. Might you be known as a close, loving, heavenly Father to each one here today. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.